Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. How's everybody doing today? Can I have you all stand up? Do we have any Los Doyers fans in the house? Just asking. Listen. We got Padre fans in the house. Come on. We got Jesus fans in the house. Come on, Jay! Let's go. Let's put our hands up in the air. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for the breath that we have in our lungs today. Thank you for today. Tomorrow's not promised. We thank you for right now. We have right now. We want to tell you we love you, we appreciate you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a big high five. Couple of quick announcements before we start. You just heard that we're going to have a shoe drive, and I want to welcome all the campuses around San Diego and Oahu and everybody watching online. That next week we are going to have a shoe drive. I did the graduation for the San Diego Rescue Mission yesterday, which is very emotional to see people graduate out of that place to go on their own, and I was in tears the whole time. It was amazing. And I said, how many pairs of shoes would you love to have? And I know we just announced we want 2,000, but they said 3,000 pairs of shoes. Now, we don't want you to bring shoes that you don't want. We don't want your nasty, funky feet shoes. So if you're going to, like, clean out your closet, we don't want to do that. So don't even bring those. Because what we're going to do is we're going to filter through them anyway. So if you could bring something that's extremely gently worn, like you wore it a couple times at the most, and then something brand new. Okay, so yeah, so that's what we would prefer.
Give a big hand. Come on, church.
Turn to Genesis chapter 28, the first book of the Bible, Genesis 28. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and I don't want you to answer them. I just want you to think about the answer, and then I'll respond to the answer. But I want you to think, I want to ask you a series of questions, and I want you to think about the answer. Question number one is, as a Christian, you don't need to respond, just think. As a Christian, do you need to be faithful in your marriage? You don't need to respond. Happens every time. Don't raise your hand. Okay? As a Christian, do you need to read the Bible on a regular basis? You don't need to respond. As a Christian, do you have to forgive your enemies? As a Christian, do you have to pray regularly? And I can keep going on. But the question is, do you have to do these things? Now, let me answer them for you. As a Christian, do you have to be faithful in your marriage? Nope. Unless you want to have a blessed marriage. You don't have to. But if you don't, your marriage will not be blessed. As a Christian, do you have to forgive your enemies? Nope. But you won't be forgiven. As a Christian, you have to read your Bible? Nope. But you're not going to understand the word and God's plan for your life. As a Christian, you have to pray? Nope. But you will not hear God's voice and not walk in his power. Matter of fact, I'll say this even. You don't even have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You just won't go to heaven. And the reason I'm telling you these things is when we talk about tithing, people say, do I have to tithe? Nope. You just won't have your finances blessed. And so God, our relationship with God is definitely conditional. And what I mean by conditional, yes, he unconditionally loves you, but he does not unconditionally bless you. That you have to walk in obedience to hear his voice. You have to. If I go out and commit a crime, guess what? I am going to jail. At least I should go to jail. And when you walk with God, the more faithful you are, the more blessings you have. And the more clearly you understand his voice. If I don't pray and don't listen to God and do my own thing, my life is going to be very different than if I pray, read the word, and obey. Can I get amen? The Bible says, forgive your enemies so your Father in heaven may forgive you. So if there's people you're having grudges with and you're not forgiving them and you wonder why your life is stressed out, maybe because you and God got an issue. And so today, we're going to start a series called Heart for Your House. Everyone say Heart for Your House? And it's a series we do every year to lead up to a special offering that we take for special initiatives out in the community over and above our tithes and offerings. And what I want to do this year is kind of level set what it means to be generous, what it means to be giving, a theology of your money, because if you handle your money God's way, your money will be blessed. That does not mean you're going to be a millionaire. It means your money's going to be blessed. What does that mean? How many of y'all have ever seen your money fly away? The Bible says it grows wings like eagles and flies away. Anybody you make money and then it's gone. Anybody? And then there's other times you go, wow, my money has been stretched. Where did this check come from? Or how am I still have money in the bank? Anybody have experienced that? It's one's blessed, one's cursed. Or sometimes you've made a lot more money and your life was, I don't say miserable, it wasn't as good as when you made less money. Can I get an amen? That's the difference between your money being blessed and your money being cursed. Between God giving you wisdom because he can trust you. Because if God can trust you, he's going to entrust you with more. If you're faithful in little, he will entrust you with much. Matthew 25. If you're faithful in little, he will trust you in much. And if you're not faithful in what he's given you, he's not going to give you more. Same thing with opportunities. If you're not faithful with one job, he's not going to give you a better job. If you're not faithful with this lady, he's not going to give you a better lady. Maybe I might need to rewind that one. If you're not faithful with that man, he ain't going to give you a better man, okay? So we're going to talk about tithing today. We're going to talk about offering in the following weeks. We're going to talk about reaping and sowing. There's a biblical principle with that you reap what you sow. In other words, you harvest what you plant. Very important in principle in finances. Then we're going to talk about first fruits. But first I want to talk about where this offering is going to go. It's only going to be in November 23rd, three more Sundays from now. November 23rd, some of the money's going to go to do something, things we do out in the community. The nations, we're going to talk about how we're going to impact the nations. Military Heroes event, Toys for Joy, city cleanups, food distributions, global missions, crisis response. And especially in light of all that's going on now with the government shutdown and people going to lose their food stamps, et cetera, how can we increase our ability to serve our community? Can I get an amen? Before, probably most of y'all were here, we're in our 25th year, we've been serving the community for 25 years, and we're going to continue to do that. Come on, church. And then the other part of the money is going to go to Next Gen Revival. This is the theater of my heart. Just One San Diego, evangelism, equipping for all of us. Rally nights coming up this Tuesday. Come on, somebody, if you're a young person, we got rally night. We want to invest in rally nights, Rock Kids Ministry Camp, expanding youth impact in San Diego, and Future SD, which is our citywide youth camp. Come on, we got to invest in the next generation. So that's our goal. On November 23rd, we're going to take this offering. It'll be over and above tithes. Our goal is $2.3 million to invest in these things over the next year. I want to talk about tithing. Now, about 3 months ago, I mentioned that the average percent of people in a church who tithe ranges from 9% to 25%. The average percent of people who tithe in the church is from 9% of the people to 25% of the people. At that time, we were at 8-something percent. I think it was 8.6%. Do y'all remember that? And I said, hey, we need to be at least at 25%. Can I get an amen? Well, so we're now right over 9%. We're right over 9%, right at the bottom of average. What would be amazing if we get to 25% in this series? We just all make a decision. And so today I'm going to talk about what tithing is so you can understand what it means and what it doesn't mean. Because I know people say, I tithe, but they really don't. And so we're going to talk about that today. I have 8 points. Usually I have 3. I'm going to give you 8. Okay. Point number 1, tithe means a tenth. It means a tenth. Genesis 28:20. Jacob made a vow, said, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, then the Lord shall be my God, and all that you give me, I will give surely to you a tenth. Now, what that means is that if you get a dollar, a tenth of a dollar is 10 cents. Now, I know math is very challenging to some people, so I'm going to break it down really simple. A tenth means that you have 10 fingers, right? This is really basic. One tenth is one finger. Amen? I hope that y'all were silent because this fool doesn't think we know that. I hope it's not that that it's like over your head. This is not over your head, right? Because I know people are mathematically challenged. One-tenth. So let's say you made $1,000. One-tenth is 100. If you make $100,000, one-tenth is $10,000. That's how that works. And so when you say you tithe, you have to ask yourself, am I really giving a tenth? Now you might say, well, is it before taxes or after taxes? Do you want God to bless you after tax or before tax? I want God to bless my whole body. I don't want God to bless my hands. You know how people put lotion just on the hands, but the rest of the body's all crusty? or women put makeup, and you can see the makeup line right here. I'm just making. So you want God? I'm not saying you put makeup on your whole body, but you want God to bless the whole program. Can I get an amen? I want God to bless my marriage, amen. I want God to bless my kids, amen. I want God to bless my health, amen. And I want God to bless my finances, amen. And I want God to bless the capacity of my finances. If you make $100,000, you don't want to just pay less tax. You want that $100,000 to be blessed. And so it's a very simple principle. And Jacob said, listen, I'm going to give you a tenth. By the way, so that's what tithe means. Now, I'm going to give you a simple chart to show you where some of you are at and what we're going to do, what we're going to encourage you to do. Now, if you look on the left, it says, today, some of you give nothing. We want you to move to give something, okay? And you can start today. Just something. Just try it. Say, Lord, I'm going to be by obedience, give something, okay? Because it's God's anyway. Now, some of you who give something, you're not tithing yet. You may give $100, but you really make $250,000 a year. That $100, what's that going to do? It won't even pay for that one light, right? But it's really not a percent. You're just giving something. Well, we would love that the Holy Spirit would encourage you to start tithing. Just move forward, and you can start today. And by the way, whenever. Say it like a valley girl. Say whenever. Whenever I or a pastor challenge you to do something that's in the Bible, every single time, test it. In other words, I said, if you pray, God's going to speak to you. Well, test it. If you obey, God's going to bless you. Test it. If you forgive, you're going to be forgiven. Test it. Don't just do it blindly and say, well, I'm just supposed to do it. No. It's in the Word. You read the Word, pray, and when you give, say, God, I am, and make sure you're giving faithfully. God, I'm giving faithfully. Now I'm going to watch what's going to happen. And whatever God decides to do is happen is God's prerogative. Because God may say to you, I'm going to wait for you to do it 5 times because I want to see your faithfulness. Whatever God does is right because He is truth. We're the ones that need to be corrected. But always test God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So let's put that thing up there. So some of you give nothing. Give something. We had somebody give $1 on a credit card. I appreciate it. But the fees were almost all the whole dollar. Okay? They give something, you can start, and then start tithing if you're giving something. Tithe 10%. And if you're tithing, we want you to give offering to Heart for Your House in 3 weeks. Now, an offering is over and above. It's a, hey, when they collected offerings to build the tabernacle, when Moses collected offerings to build the tabernacle, they gave this one-time thing for that special project. When David collected offerings to build the temple, they took a one-time thing to build the temple. So an offering is over and above. We're going to talk about what offerings are. And so everyone say tithe is 10%. Say 10%. Number two, tithe was instituted before the law. The Old Testament law. Some of y'all will say, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, the Old Testament says don't murder. Should we murder? No, the Old Testament said don't lie. Should we lie? Just because it was in the Old Testament doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. The Old Testament builds a foundation for the New Testament. But even tithing was instituted before the Old Testament law. 500 years before the Old Testament law, Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. Abraham's nephew was kidnapped when Sodom and Gomorrah and other countries, cities were invaded by four kings, and his nephew Lot was taken captive. Abraham takes his 318 soldiers, his own personal army, and rescues his son. And on the way back, he is greeted by Melchizedek, the priest of God, king of Salem or Jerusalem. And it says in Genesis 14:18, Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. So he is blessing Abraham. And Abraham, says, the Bible says, Abraham gave him a tithe of all. This is before the Old Testament law. He gave it as appreciation. Now, the king of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Sodom specifically came out to him as well. He didn't give him nothing. Sodom was a corrupt city. Sodom was all about greed and immorality. And he said, no, I'm not giving you. But the king of Salem, the priest of God, I'm going to honor by grace, because I am going to acknowledge that my victory was because of God. I'm going to acknowledge the presence of God's representative, Melchizedek. And I am giving this out of faith. Tithing was something that was instituted before God, and it was always an act of honor and grace to God because of what God has done in your life. So don't think, well, this is in the Old Testament law, I can't do it. There's a lot in the Old Testament law. Matter of fact, of all the things in the Old Testament law, the principle of all those things are still true. It may not be the practice how we do it, but the principle was all the principle behind all the Old Testament law is still true. Number three, tithe was a response to grace, not a requirement of the law. Jacob, Abraham's grandson, was a deceiver. Matter of fact, his name was changed to Israel. And when he deceived his father and his brother, he ran as a fugitive. He had nothing. And he's out running as a fugitive, and he gets a vision from God saying, I am still going to keep my commitment to you, Jacob, from Abraham, Isaac, now through you, to bless your people. And he makes a vow to God. This is before the Old Testament law. He makes a vow to God. God, I'm going to give you a tenth. We just read it, but we're going to read it again. It says, Jacob made a vow to God saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, then the Lord shall be my God. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Jacob is saying, listen, I don't know about Moses because Moses hasn't lived yet. It's 500 years before, now 400 years before Moses. All I know is I'm going to honor you, God. This is the spirit of a tithe. It is actually saying, God, I am honoring you with what I have. And by the way, we're going to see in a minute that it's not ours anyway. Last week, Pastor Hayden preached a great message, and I was listening to it. And one of the things he said is that we'll say, God, take away my pain. Take away my problems. Take away this man out of my life. He's just the devil. Take away this woman out of my life. She's devil. Please, remove this. But we never say, God, take away my blessings. God, everything I have is yours. Raise your hand if everything you have is God's. Okay? Say, God, you could have whatever you want. Let's say this with me. Say, God, you could have whatever you want that you've given me. Ooh, watch out now. You might go out. Listen, I was at church one day years ago. I'm not saying this to you, but I was at church one day, and I walked out of church, and my car was gone. Someone stole my car at church. I think maybe God wants me to have a new car. I don't know. This is a true story. I walked out of church, the car was gone. Actually, it was during the service I walked outside. I don't know what I went out there for during the service, but somehow I went out there and my car was gone. And by the end of the service, true story, my car was back. Literally, the guy drove out of the parking lot. This is the goodness of God. The guy drove out of the parking lot, made a left turn, went through a stoplight. The cop was sitting there, stopped him, and got my car back That is, come on, somebody. Why did I tell you that story? Because if you tell God, God, you can have whatever you want, God may take something from you and give you something better. Now, I got my car back, so I didn't get anything better. and the lock was popped, so now I got a bad, worse car. But you know what I got, though? Was a lesson. I got a lesson. God says, I got you. I got you. Number four, a tithe was reinforced under the law. Now we have Moses' law. He is reinforcing what has already happened, what has already been instituted by men of God who walked with God and were appreciative of God by giving God. Leviticus 27:30, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord, it is holy. Moses now is going to tell the people, here's how you need to do this. Sometimes we need rules because we just don't get it. But God, can you imagine your kid and your child loving you by rules. Okay, Father, I'm supposed to tell you I love you today. It's Sunday. I love you. Thank you very much. We don't want relationship like that. God doesn't want relationship like that. So that's why what's cool about this is that they were given to God because of God's grace in their life, God's blessing in their life, God's faithfulness in their life, not because of a law. My granddaughter, and I've noticed this a lot about granddaughters. They have a thing for their grandfathers. Anybody recognize that? It's just a thing. Like my wife she'll take care of my granddaughter all day long and you know, day in and day out. And then when we go over to their house, she calls me Boppy. Boppy! And she'll run around my wife to give me a hug. I'm always like, what am I, chopped liver? I spent all day taking care of you, girl. And it's just something there. And I can't explain it. And the other day, I was sitting on the floor, and she was standing next to me, and she just looked at me, and just bam, gave me a big hug. There's something there. That's what God wants. This is God. I just want you to love me. I want you to acknowledge all I've done for you, all I do for you every day. And just love me. So then he writes it in. So let me give you some guidelines of what that looks like. After the fact that it was modeled. Point number five, tithing is not giving, it's returning. I think this is the most powerful point, that what you have ain't yours anyway. let's do it by a show of two hands. How many of y'all realize, and I'm going to say it, then I'm going to pause for emphasis, then I want you to respond. How many of you realize that what you have is not yours? Okay, let's do that one more time. And let's that. Because some of you are like, How many of y'all realize what you have is not yours? Amen. Keep your hands up. Look around the room. Just, thank you. Keep your hands up. So when you put your hands down. When you look in the mirror, you say, you don't belong to yourself. When you look at your family, they don't belong to you. You have stewardship, responsibility, but they don't belong to you. Your house, your condo, your car, it's not yours. And by the way, it really ain't. It's the bank's. My bank took money out of my account twice the other day. I'm still waiting for them to, I'm waiting for them to put it back. But they literally took money out and then took it out again. And so it's like, I don't know if it was a flex. Like, we're going to see how long it's going to take you to call us because we may do this again. I don't know if it was a mistake, but my house doesn't belong to me. This doesn't belong to me. My money doesn't belong to me. It doesn't. And one of the reasons we give is to keep reminding us, and it is not your sense, it is not your security. Your money can't save you. When you die, you are not taking cash. You're not taking Bitcoin. You take nothing. Nothing, if you remember Hogan's Heroes, I know nothing. Look what the Bible says in Leviticus 27:30. All the tithe of the land, whether it's the seed of the land or the fruit of the Lord, it is the Lord's, it is holy to the Lord. It's all God's, but the tithe belongs to God. A friend of mine, his daughter was, he's a pastor, and his daughter was dating a guy, they were dating, and the dad interviewed the son. In-law, well, no, the boyfriend, who is now the son-in-law. And one of the things he did is, I want to check your tithe record, because I don't want my daughter dating a thief. Ooh. If the tithe belongs to God, now all of it belongs to God, but if the tithe is something that God has said, I want it back. I've given it to you, I want it back. And you keep it, you're stealing. We're going to read that in a minute. You're stealing. It's not yours. Pastor friend of mine, he has little kids, and he told them, don't eat chocolate. The cookies. No more cookies. And then a few minutes later, he heard in the pantry. So he sneaks over, and he goes in the pantry, and his kids' cheeks are like this. Has you been eating cookies? You didn't eat any more cookies? And the brown chocolate drool was coming out of his corner of his mouth. He's like, That's how some Christians are. I ain't stealing from God, and the tithe is right there in their pocket. It's not yours. And it's burning a hole in your pocket. It's bringing a curse on the rest of your money. Because if you tithe the first fruits, the whole lump is blessed. And Romans tells us that. And so you have to understand, you raise your hand and said, it's not mine. By the way, are you honoring God with your house, your condo, your job, your relationships, your body? Are you taking care of your temple? This is where God lives. God don't live in a building. Obviously, he's everywhere, but he lives here. Are you taking care of this? Number five, tithe is not giving, it's returning. All you are doing is saying, God, I am just giving what's yours anyway. And some of y'all can think, man, I haven't tithed all year. Maybe you need to give God what he's waiting for his tenth part. He's waiting for you to give him what is his. Number six, tithe was reaffirmed by the prophets. Malachi 3, 8 to 10. This is the last prophet before the New Testament. And Israel was not tithing. Israel was not worshiping God. Israel was apathetic. Israel was, they were having religion marriages, cultural marriages. And it says, this is what Malachi said, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And they say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You rob me because you are holding on to something that doesn't belong to you. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. How many of y'all want to be blessed in your finances? Let's try this one more time. How many of y'all want to be blessed? I know y'all thinking he's trying to trap you. I'm not trying to trap you. I'm just telling you what the word says. I'm really not. Now, it will put you in a corner because you can't get out of what the word says. So, but it is what it is. But I'm also trying to show you a door to be blessed. It says, you are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me in this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me. Everyone say, test me. That's why every time you obey God, you're testing God. God, I want to see. I'm going to pray to you. And I'm going to wait for you to listen to me. And I'm wait for you to respond to me. I know you're going to respond to me. I'm going to be faithful. You're going to respond to me. I'm going to forgive my enemies. You're going to respond to me. And he will. Because if he doesn't, he's not faithful. But you got to let God respond in his time and in his way. You can't say to God, God, I'm going to do this and I want this by this date. No. That's not how God works. God's not our genie. Because in order for God to bless you, he has to take something from you so you can put that, he can replace what you have in your hand with something better. And sometimes when you say, God, I want that, he says, well, I need to take this to make room for it. But we don't like to give that up because we don't have faith that we're going to get that. That's how it works. That's how it works. It says, test me, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. How many of y'all want the windows of heaven to pour out on you? How many of y'all want the windows of heaven to pour out on you? Come on, somebody. Say amen. Amen. Oh, buddy. That's a, I don't know about that amen. Say amen. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Say bless me, God. Point number seven, the tithe was endorsed by Jesus in the New Testament. Now, if tithe was not the thing to do, Jesus would have said, don't do it. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You pay tithe in mint and anise and cumin. You do that. However, you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faith. They ought to have done these without leaving the others undone. In other words, listen, you're doing the religious things, but your heart is in the wrong place. Don't do this. All right, here's my money. Don't do that. Do this. In the least, dear God, this is a stretch. I've never done this before. I'm scared. What about my bills? But I trust you. And then watch. Keep your eyes open. Keep these eyes open. God, show me. Because if there's one place God will test your faithfulness, it's in money. He talks about money more than anything. Why? Because we hold on it tighter than anything. When I was playing with the Chargers, I was making $9,000 a game, which is, I made $100,000 that year. The minimum now is like $900,000. Man, dang it, I was 42 years too late. But I made $9,000 a game. When I got cut, I made nothing. But then I came back. My last year, I had a house in Rancho Penasquitos. I had two cars and three kids and one wife. That multiple wife thing does not work out. Don't even try it. And God said, I want you to go into ministry. I said, cool. You're in youth ministry, you're already doing it. Cool. So I went up to the pastor and said, hey, I want to be a youth pastor. And he said, how about $500 a month? Now understand, my house was $1,500 a month. And I had 4 years of calculus. I can divide. $500 divided by 4 weeks is $125 a week. My house was $1,500 a month. I had two cars. I had three kids. I had a wife. He said, how about $500 a month? And God said, you going to trust me or you going to count the pennies? I said, I'm going to trust you. I took the job literally within 2 seconds. It was 3 years before my paycheck paid my bills. How did I live? God says, I'm going to teach you to trust me. True story. God ain't interested in making you all comfortable. He wants you to trust him and make you holy. And if there's one place he's going to do it, it's with your cash. That's why people get panties in a bunch when you talk about money. Man, don't get my money. It ain't your money. And by the way, if you ever really want to test that, which I don't advise you ever to do this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, if you really feel like, this is my money, go home and tell God. I mean, don't even go home. Before you get in your car, say, God, this is my money. You can't take it. Please don't do that. But I think the illustration makes the point that if we say to God, God, all I have is yours, oh my goodness, and I'm gonna give you point eight, then we're going to close this out. Tithing opens the door to blessing. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse and test me, says the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that there will be not a room enough to receive it. Lord, I just pray. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, you are so good to us. You put up with so much from us, testing you, doubting you, not obeying you, trying to play you, and you know everything. There's no way we can ever beat the system. You set guidelines in place for our relationship, and they will never, ever change. You tell us that the greatest commandment is to love you with all our heart, mind, and soul, Matthew 22, 37 to 40. And then you tell us in 1 John 5, 3, to love you means to obey you. There is no getting around it. You tell us that you own, you created the heavens and the earth and all there is in them. You make the sun come up. You bring the night and the day. You feed the deer. You guide the whales through the ocean. You are the one who brings animals and people out of the womb. And yet we have such a hard time trusting you with a piece of paper. I pray financial blessing on everyone who can hear my voice. I pray financial blessing to follow financial obedience. Lord, I've seen so many people be blessed financially because of their obedience, and so many people be frustrated and struggle financially because they just won't trust the God who stretches out the heavens. So I pray supernatural faith, Holy Spirit, open the eyes of our heart that we may trust you and obey you. And even today, Lord, there is somebody listening right now, and maybe many people, they're like, man, I didn't know all that. I need to get my tithe record. That even today, they would set it straight and tithe what they have been lacking all year and catch it up today. I pray people would sign up today to automatically tithe out of their account, which I do. Lord, I just thank you that you are so good to us when we are good to you. You're good to us anyway, but you are so faithful to respond to obedience. But you're also so faithful to respond to disobedience. So we thank you, we praise you, and Lord, I pray that as we've been talking about getting to 25% of our church tithing, we should blow that number out of the water. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.